Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside.
A lover at heart, Michelle Cashat communicates with a rare warmth and transparency that draws people in. A 3-time head and neck cancer survivor and parent of children from hard places, Michelle is a reluctant expert of trauma, pain, and for deep human need for authentic connection. Thus, she's absolutely committed to sharing her honest struggles, experiences, and questions so you know you are not alone in yours. Pulling from her uncommon life story, Michelle released her first book, a memoir titled Undone, with Zondervan Publishers in 2015. Her second book, a devotional written in the brutal months after the third round of cancer, is titled I Am, a 60-day journey to knowing who you are because of who he is, and it released in January 2017. Currently, she is neck deep in researching her next book, slated to release in 2022. You can listen to Michelle and her buddy Kathy Lip on her episodes of their hilarious and practical Communicator Academy podcast, helping writers and speakers become the communicators God made them to be. In 2019, Michelle launched her brand new This Undone Life podcast together, a series of honest conversations about real faith, real relationship in the hard places. Currently, Michelle serves as the chief training officer at Michael Hyatt Company, where she trains and develops coaches for Michael Hyatt and Company Business Accelerator and one-on-one coaching programs. Michelle and her husband, Troy, live in Colorado with their 6 children, ages 13 to 28. She enjoys a good novel, a long hike in the mountains, a kitchen table filled with people, and donuts, lots of donuts. Wow. Are you ready for this, couch timers? Because as we get ready to dive in, I want to tell you that Michelle changed my life and I didn't even know. Her book, I Am, is solely responsible for me becoming a counselor, for me finding me after being lost in motherhood and volunteering and teaching and being a wife and 1,000 other things, you know, chauffeur, dog poop picker upper, all those things. And I read her book at a really low point. I actually read her book about 6 or 7 times. I've lost count. It's falling apart. Sticky notes, writing all over it. But God has such a sense of humor. Because when I was interviewing with Michael Hyatt Company to be a one-on-one coach for their Business Accelerator program, and they came to me, it was such an honor. Guess who interviewed me? Michelle Cashat. Now, at the time, I had not put together that she is the person that wrote the book, but I knew the name, and I couldn't remember in that moment why. It was later that night at the hotel that I went and Googled and her book came up and went, hello. Like that wasn't even a God wink. That was like a God pushing you through the door saying, just go. So now I have had the pleasure of Michelle being my coach as a one-on-one business coach with Michael Hyatt. Are you guys ready for this? Because it is going to bless you. Get ready to believe that you can have it all. Time for yourself, the kids, your marriage, and your business. My name is Amy Wine. I am a Jesus-loving, married mom, CEO, professional counselor, marriage therapist, high-performance business coach, and a believer in keeping it real. Real life, real relationships, real people. I teach you how to live a life that represents who you are authentically, not who you think you need to be. Each episode, I meet you right where you are with time-tested tools and strategies so that you can find who you are in all the hats you wear and live your life authentically on purpose. This is real life, raw, sometimes ugly, other times wonderful and fun.
I can't promise you this work is easy, but I can tell you it is totally worth it. Are you ready? Let's get started. Okay, guys, we are going to dive right in right now with Michelle Cachat, and I want to welcome you to Couch Time.
Well, Amy, I have been looking forward to this, I would say all week, but even before this week, it's been on my calendar and I could not wait to have this time with you.
Oh, me either. And it's funny because I wish we were on a couch. Like,
oh, well,
one day
let's just say if I was on the couch right now and horizontal, I'd be asleep in about 30 seconds. So it's probably good that I'm in an office chair and not on a couch.
I was like, that's one of my life goals, is to figure out how to do these interviews on a couch.
Yes. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful with maybe fuzzy slippers and
yes, in my pajamas.
Okay. In your pajamas with a warm drink, some snacks.
Yes. All those things. Cookies, donuts.
Oh, everybody just listening, we're going to pretend right now that that's exactly what's happening.
Absolutely. So I hope you curl up. So, I was so excited when I changed, and I think most people listening, if they don't know, I changed from Marriage on Fire to Couch Time with Amy Wine. It was actually what I first wanted to talk about when I went to podcasting. And then I kind of didn't listen to my gut. So I'm back. And I specifically wanted to talk to you because there's something that you speak about very well in helping women design a life they love. Like you just get real and raw and written a book called I Am. We talked about it in the bio session. It changed my life. And I just really wanted to have a conversation with you around that because I think it's so busy. And the number one thing I hear is I don't have time to do anything that I want to do or find me. So how would you speak to
it? Oh, well, first of all, I would speak to it by saying I'm still in progress with it myself. You know, we tend to think of something like that as a destination or a bullseye on a target. We have to hit the center. And once we hit the center, we'll stay there forever. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. Every day I'm trying to continually design a life I love, but also stay adaptable to current circumstances. Because the reality is, as much as I have in my mind what that design might look like, life does not go according to plan. So how do I continue to aim for a life that I believe I was wired up for and God made me for, but also stay flexible to the fact that it could change on a moment and still understand that just because it doesn't always look the way I intend it to look doesn't mean that it's bad necessarily, but how can I stay present to this moment and still try to aim for this life that I'm designing?
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you find time to do that? Like you're busy.
A little bit. So I'm not sure if you told everybody this already, but I have six kids, ages 29 down to twin 14-year-olds. So my three youngest are 14, 14, 15. And anybody who's ever had kids that age know it's chaos.
Yes.
And it's an emotional roller coaster all the time. And, you know, they're not driving yet. So you are in your car constantly trying to take care of all the things. And then you have homework, everything else. On top of that, I'm an executive at a performance coaching company at Michael Hyatt and Company. So I have a team of 11 people plus 21 contractors that I manage. So I do that full time. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I have a book contract that I'm responsible for, a book that needs to be written in about 8 months. And didn't mention on top of all of that, that my youngest three kids have a history of severe abuse and neglect. So there's a trauma history there too, that requires additional mental health supports and behavioral supports and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm married. And, you know, health challenges, all of that. So I have a very full, I like to say I have a very full life. Yeah. I remind myself if it wasn't full, I'd get bored and I wouldn't know what to do. But the truth is to feel overwhelmed is almost a daily experience for me. It's just life is overwhelming. My husband and I talk about this quite often. Our life, as full and great as it is, as blessed as we are, is incredibly hard and very overwhelming. We have some very unique challenges that require a whole different level of engagement and parenting while we both work full time. So how do I find time? That's a great question. Some of the ways I find time is getting very, very clear about what's important to me. This will be very unpopular with some of you, so hang with me. Don't shoot any darts at me yet. But I had to finally decide that what is most important to me, I had to decide, is it watching TV or is it sleep? Mm-hmm. Is it doing a million different activities or having some sense of balance and stability? So for example, my kids can only do one sport or activity. They don't do two or three each. They do one, because the reality is we don't have the margin for everybody to be going full bore all the time. The truth is if I don't get sleep, I become a very unhappy mom and wife and coworker. I'm just not a nice person. So watching TV until midnight is not an option for me if I want to be able to approach my life and work with some sense of confidence and sanity. So, you know, some of finding time is really determining what is non-negotiable and what is negotiable. And often we think things that are non-negotiable really are negotiable. So here's another example. I'm also a cook, so I make pretty much every single dinner from scratch, homemade. Wow. And, you know, with having six kids, we had all the kids home last night for one of our kids' birthdays. And that's making food for eight adults, basically. Right? It's a lot. And so I used to have this standard in my head that it had to be a certain extravagance for me to be a quote unquote good mom. Entirely different now. I have to sit there and remind myself, is it really worth spending 10 hours making a gourmet meal? Or would it be okay to make a taco bar and buy the guacamole versus making the guacamole? And so that sounds silly, but it's those little decisions. I decided to taco bar and buy the guacamole versus making the guacamole. And that was a, you know, 2-hour prep versus a 6-hour prep or whatever. So those are some of the ways that I have to constantly push against my achiever self and my desire to be everything to everyone and really negotiate what is essential and what isn't essential and let the non-essential go.
I love that. And I do think it's the small things. Like that is like, if you could boil it down, and I've done a lot of what is it that creates the change in us? It's not these big, bold, I'm going to go out here and design this life that I love. And I'm only going to do those things. I'm just going to be happy and joyful. Well, no, you got to like break that back down to those little small things. So I had a counselor once when I was dealing with my childhood trauma, and I was in counseling for about 2.5 years with it, which was brutal. And he said to me, and I had three little kids. And he said, why are you still eating on plates? Like real plates, like plates that break and you got to wash. And I go, well, what else are we going to eat on? I thought this was the silliest question. And he goes, I want you to leave here and go buy paper plates. Mm-hmm. And I never want you to wash another one again while you're going through this. Well, it's been 20 years. I'm still eating on paper plates.
Yeah, that's such a great story, though, because that's the example of something in your mind. It was not an option. Like in your mind, you had decided there's a mindset thing that the only proper way to do it was to eat on china plates, like, you know, glass plates, whatever. And all of a sudden, somebody else made you say, what if that's not true? What if that really isn't a non-negotiable, but something that you've created essential that actually is optional?
Absolutely.
And I have to do that all the time. And that's hard for somebody like me who's very type A, highly driven. I love my career. I love my family. I want to do it all with 200% excellence. Right. Well, that is the shortest route to a nervous breakdown right there. That's going to happen. I'm going to lose it. So at some point I have to stop and go, wait, really, what matters? Right. And I wish I could say it was a one and done, that I make those decisions and I never have to revisit them. Nope. I have to fight this every day, because it's really kind of a core part of how I'm wired up, is to always overdo, like always work harder than I need to work and do more than I need to do. I had my therapist. I'm a big believer in therapy, and I've had the same one for, gosh, going on 20, like 18 years now, something like that, 15 years. But I told her one day, she's like, why do you do all this? And I said, well, because I have to do my best. I need to do my best. And she said, who said?
Right.
And I'm like, wait a second. That's blasphemy. What are you talking about? But she made me stop and said, who said you have to run at whatever you think your best is at that pace all the time? Who says? And then she also reminded me, this was the follow-up question. She actually asked me this about a month ago, or she didn't ask. She told me, she goes, remember, not everybody thinks the way you think. Not everybody is expecting you to do and show up the way you're expecting you to do and show up. And what would it look like to challenge your own thinking and realize that you are driven by some of these things that you think everybody else expects of you, and it's not accurate. It's really only what you expect of you. And if it's what only you expect of you, it can be negotiated.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I go to therapy. Most of my counselors, the counseling center, we all go to therapy.
Good. I'm a huge believer in it. I mean, it's so helpful for me. It catches me in thought patterns and belief patterns that aren't helpful. It's just such a great way. And my husband, I'm sure, appreciates that I process things with somebody else besides him.
Oh yeah, I guarantee you mine does. He's even said, hey, when's your next appointment? No.
You got to love that. You're like, no, you're not allowed to ask that.
You're going to come with
me. Back off.
Your turn. For sure. So many people or women especially, they just don't take the time. The other thing I hear is not that I don't have time. It's I'll do that when.
Mm-hmm.
Here was my favorite one until my friend called me out on it. Because it's so much easier to fix everybody else's stuff than to
do it. Oh, 100%.
Me or my best friend. She's like,
100%.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to go hiking when my ankle starts not folding over and giving in on itself. She's like, yeah, but it's been doing that for 15 years. I'm like, oh, well, when I lose 20 pounds and don't put as much pressure on it, I'm going to start doing this hiking thing that you and I have started to love. And we're going to like actually go to Colorado and do like real mountains, not as opposed to the hills around. I'm like, but I don't think I can handle it. So we're going to do that later. And she's like, later is never going to come.
Yeah, it's true. Right.
It's just never going to come. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that is too, as you were talking, I started to just reconnect. This is such an important concept. So much of what we're doing is because our sense of worth or value is tied up in the execution of what it is we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So we're frantically making our own guacamole because somewhere along the way, we felt like we were only a good mom, good wife, good whatever, if we did X, Y, Z. And that, again, is a recipe for absolute burnout and disillusionment. Implement and everything else. So much of our drive, in fact, I would probably go so far to say the vast majority, if not all of our drive, is tied up in how we define or approve our worth and value. We want to demonstrate on a momentary basis how we're worth our own skin. You know, that really is behind all of that. Now, the irony is, you and I were sitting here on our couch, we're sitting on our metaphorical couch right now, and we had a friend next to us on the couch who was terminally ill and couldn't do anything for herself. Mm-hmm. If I asked you, Amy, she's not productive, she's not doing anything, she's not going to be able to make dinner, she's not going to be able to work a job, does she have value? You would hands down said, of course she has value.
Yeah,
and if I said, yeah, exactly. I would say, Amy, if she has value, so she has value, but she's not going to do anything today. She's not going to contribute to anything today. In fact, she's just going to require people to care for her. Yeah. Are you sure she has value? And you would probably get all upset with me. Yeah. You can feel it, right? You get all upset with me for even questioning whether or not this girlfriend of ours sitting on the couch has value. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, when it comes to ourselves, we don't hold the same standard.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So if you and I went through today and didn't do anything, like we didn't pick up the phone when our kids called, we didn't get our task list done for work, we didn't make dinner, or whatever it is that we define it, we would have such a feeling. In fact, we would say, oh, I feel so unproductive. What's wrong with me? I can't seem to get anything done. We've said those things, right?
Yes.
And because we are tying our sense of worth and value to what we do.
Absolutely.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Think about that. Because I can imagine, not even imagine, I can think of at least three occasions in the past 7 days where I've probably done that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's as tiny as a negative thought that just comes up. So silly story. I am a squirrel murderer.
Wow, what a confession. Somebody's gonna call PETA.
No, because I'm driving down the road to work this morning and a squirrel runs out in front of me. I actually swerved to miss said squirrel. And then I hear kapom, kapom. I swerved to miss the squirrel and I hit the squirrel. So I look in my rearview mirror and of course the squirrel is like,
poor squirrel.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I felt horrible. And I am literally 60 seconds from my office, like literally, even if the
light right there,
60 seconds. So in between the time I hit the squirrel and I got to the office, I was stupid. I was,
oh yeah, you were berating yourself.
Ridiculous. Like, how can you swerve and still hit it? And you know, you've left it there. And I mean,
yeah.
I had myself all in it.
All in that, in 60 seconds. And you could probably say that you were driving to work with confidence and within 60 seconds, you had unraveled all of it.
All of it. And I walked in and the counselor in the first office says, are you okay? I'm like, I think so, but I think I'm a squirrel murderer. She goes, I don't even want to know. I just want to know, did you do it on purpose? I said, well, of course not. Of course not. And she goes, then you're not. So what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
What an interesting question, right? To like reframe it. And that's something, by the way, this is, if I have a chink in my armor, it's the fact that I have such a high expectation of myself to be non-human. And so I've worked so hard over the last several decades to become someone who can take feedback, who can, you know, allow other people to be disappointed in me, all of that kind of stuff. And yet at the same time, the moment somebody expresses any kind of disappointment in me, I start the spiral of, oh, I'm not even worth being alive. I shouldn't be here, you know, because there's no tolerance for my own humanity. Mm-hmm. And is that a life? You know, when we were talking about designing a life you love, part of designing a life you love is also making peace with your own humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're never going to be able to out-design your own humanness. And if we can't come to a place of making peace with our own humanity, no matter how perfectly designed your life is, you're not going to be happy.
Exactly.
Right? Because your humanity is going to show up regardless of the design.
Well, I'll just accept myself then.
I know. If only it was that easy, right?
Yeah.
But it's such an important part of this is allowing yourself to not always be everything to everyone or even everything you want to be, to allow yourself to be not just imperfect, but just downright human, right? To do that. And to not, you know, for me is to start. And this is so difficult, Amy. I struggle with this so much. Mm-hmm. But to not have a 2 or 3 day unraveling simply because you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time you don't need to spend, right? And I spend way too much time ruminating about my failures, usually at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But I do it at other times of day too. And is that really a life that I love? Is that the kind, and is that the kind of life I want to teach my children or the people who work for me? Is that what I want to teach them about their value is by having that same standard for myself? So it's just, you know, it is interesting when it comes to, you know, we already talked about part of designing a life you love is it's the small choices, but a big part of it isn't even behavior. It's mindset. It's having mercy for yourself. It's having flexibility with life not going according to plan. It's taking ownership of and having agency over the tiny things that you can have agency over. It's constantly challenging your assumptions about what is essential and what isn't.
Yeah, well, my list of things that I would like to do and accomplish is longer than I have a lifetime.
Of course. And I would imagine most people are living or listening to this. Y'all feel the same way. I mean, these are high achieving people who really are take their life seriously and want to, you know, live their best life and all of that. There's nothing wrong with that. But part of living your best life is also making peace with what is.
Absolutely.
And including your own humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely. And I think it's a everyday choice. Like,
oh,
I wake up and like my morning routine is. If I don't have my Jesus morning routine, like if I decide to lay in bed that little bit longer or not get up and then I'm rushed through it, or I used to think it wasn't that big a deal, but my days are different. And now that I've had years, multiple years of sitting every morning.
Sitting outside, right? With your coffee on your patio? Yes.
Tea.
Okay. You do sit outside on your patio. I know that I've seen, I think you've sent me a picture of what that looks like. Yeah. So I can picture you doing that.
Through the waterfall.
Yeah.
Thing. And I do it. I may be sweating. I may be freezing. I may be in the rain. I got a little umbrella. I'm like, I need a covered patio, but I got an umbrella for the rain. Like, I don't miss it. Even if it's 10 minutes, I like to have an hour, but that was never possible when kids were in the house. Now it is. And now I love it. And I'm like, well, maybe 2 hours.
Well, I don't know. I think occasionally you can do it. It would be good for you.
Yeah, occasionally. Otherwise, I get nothing done. But one of the things that I love about it is that it has helped me intentionally reset.
Everything. Yeah, totally. So totally.
Spent the night, like, I am a famous at waking up 1, 2 a.m. in my mind. Woo! And then it's, I'm sleepy about the time I got to get up, and that never works out well. But it's all about that humanness, right? And allowing myself to be.
Do you trust me? I'm gonna challenge one thing that you said. You ready? Do you trust me?
Yes.
You said, I can't do 2 hours because I wouldn't get anything done. And that's the same mindset I have. But who says that 2 hours isn't getting something done?
Yeah, that's absolutely
right.
Probably the best thing I get done all day.
Exactly. And that's the only reason I wanted to say it is because I use the same rationale. Well, I can't sit here and have my Jesus time, or I can't go exercise for longer than this because I won't get anything done. Right. Wait a second. Let's pause for a minute. Let's challenge, what is productivity? And what if sitting with Jesus is the most productive thing you do all day? Or going for that 30-minute walk, or, you know, making your green smoothie, or reading a novel for 15 minutes, or whatever it is. I mean, what you were saying is true. We all, we have jobs, we have things we're accountable for. That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. But for me, learning to change how I talk about those things is not lesser activities. They're equally as important and productive. In fact, in some ways, even more so.
Absolutely.
Rather than say, well, I can't do it any longer because then I wouldn't get anything. No, I am getting something done. I just have other things to do too, right? So that's the only thing I wanted to challenge, but it's mainly challenging myself because I tend to lower my value of the things that are actually keeping me afloat.
No, and I absolutely am glad you challenged me on that. One of the things I'm trying to avoid.
Me like, too. So you can do the same thing right back.
Sorry, Jesus, an hour's enough. You can't have any more of me today.
So, and you know what? There are times you have to stop and go pick up kids, or you have to go do this or go do that. And that's just normal responsibility.
Right.
But I so want to get to a place that when I take a nap or I go to bed early, or I decide to read that novel or whatever, that I don't berate myself for being quote unquote lazy, but I also recognize that was productive too.
Absolutely.
In fact, that helps me become a better version of myself, which helps me then do the other things in my life even better. Anyway, I'm in progress with that. So,
I think we all are. It's funny you said that because I think I've been recording all day podcasts because I've batched them. And earlier I said, I think women say to themselves when they go take time, like they're lazy. And like you, I don't watch too much TV because it's not non-negotiable for me. Like I don't have to have it. Like I'll watch some football games.
Oh, me too, sister. I love football.
Yes, I love football, but my husband will watch it incessantly. I'll just read a book or something. Yeah. Sometimes those books are like, well, I call them my brain dead romance books. They get really short ones. They're like 3 or 4 hours and you don't have to process or think. Like, I don't even know what the book is about when I'm done.
It's like you can go somewhere and you're out of the loops in your head of processing everything and you're able to just kind of relax. Yeah.
And I think it lets my body relax because my brain does not often, but if I can get my body to. The rest of it will come.
I read before bed too. I always read a novel before bed. I usually like historical or literary novels. And that's like my favorite. But I think something similar happens for me. It just helps me to like disconnect from all the unresolved loops in my head. Mm-hmm. I can disconnect from that and actually sleep. But, you know, I used to think, you know, I used to tell myself, well, that's just like wasted time. It's really not. It's actually one of the best things I do and really helps me decompress, just like you said, and seeing it as an essential part of my shutdown routine, all of that.
Absolutely. So I have one more question for you before we
go. Okay. Uh-oh, you look really serious. Now I'm scared.
What is one thing that you've done that most people would not know that you've done it?
Ooh, like what? Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Most people would not know. That's a really good question. I've met a president of the United States.
Oh, wow.
Didn't expect that. It came about by through a series of through a tragedy, but it was very interesting to me, the president of the United States. I mean, that's something that most people wouldn't know. I don't talk about it very often. I don't know if that's what you're looking at. The only other thing that most people don't know is I'm a certified scuba diver, and that's kind of fun too. So
that is awesome. My husband would love that. I have claustrophobia, really severe, and I cannot, like, he's like, I pity the fool that tries to put something across your face. they're in trouble.
It's definitely a whole different thing. And but yeah, my husband and I got certified on our honeymoon, and we've done dozens of dives. Wow. And all over the place. And yeah, we have our own BCD, our own scuba equipment, all that kind of stuff. And so anything outdoors with nature is like my favorite, but most people just don't know that piece.
Yeah. I love it. That's fantastic. Yeah, see, there's always something good that comes up.
There's something interesting, kind of interesting.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Oh my goodness.
So many people are going to be impacted by your words. I'm going to put all your books down in there.
You're very sweet. You're very sweet. Well, I've enjoyed this. This conversation is timely for me simply because I have some recalibration that I need to do. So for those of you who are listening, I always want to make sure people know you aren't hearing from people who have mastered it, experts. You are hanging out with people on the couch that are still in progress, just like you are. So that means we're in this together, and you're not going to get it perfect, and neither will I, but we hopefully will take one tiny little step forward in having that kind of life that we love.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody deserves that.
Totally. Well, it's been a pleasure, Amy. Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, that wraps up today's episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're interested in continuing conversations just like these, visit my website at amywine.com. There you will find additional resources for high-achieving, Jesus-loving, married moms just like you, and the different ways that we can work together. Thanks for tuning in. See you here next week. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business. And your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're going to find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage.
I'll see you inside.